My name is Scarlett Harris, and this is my grandma, Candace Moore Dooley. It is the 25th of April, 2019. Do I have your permission to release this to the public?
Yes, you do.
Okay. What's the biggest historical event that you've lived through?
I've lived through many, but probably man walking on the moon was probably the most significant.
Oh.
Literally, I watched them land on the moon and I watched them walk on the moon on television.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, you have many people in your family who think that that really didn't happen. Like Uncle Manuel, who lives in Maine. He's French, and he does not believe that people really walked on the moon. He thinks that it was all done in a movie studio.
Oh.
Of course, that's not true.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Who is someone that you've looked up to in your life?
Famous or family?
Doesn't matter.
I like Ronald Reagan.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I think that he was, he made some missteps that I didn't agree with, but I think that overall he was a good guy.
Okay. How about great grandma? Do you know who she idolized?
Great grandma lived at a time when things were really, wild. She remembers Bugsy Siegel from Las Vegas.
What's Bugsy Siegel?
Bugsy Siegel was the gangster that built the Flamingo. And he was shot dead in his front room in Beverly Hills because they thought that he was skimming money. And truth be told, he wasn't. It just cost a lot of money to make. And he had the vision of what Las Vegas was going to be. You have to realize that we're talking about the 40s. It was a wide spot in the road. But it has turned into what he really thought it was. So, my mom and my dad would go to Vegas and they would see him because, that's what they did. And they dressed up and it was all fancy. It's not like it is today. And it was not a place for kids. When I was a little girl, my parents went to Vegas a lot. And we had a babysitter that they kept on retainer. So if they decided they were going to go to Vegas, they would call her. She would pack her bag and get in the car, and she would go with my older brother and I. When we were there, we couldn't walk into the casino. Now you can walk through it. As long as you don't stop to play anything, you don't get crazy, because it's more of a family place. But we had to stay well and far away because it was against the law.
Oh.
So just, different place. It wasn't a family vacation place in those days.
What was your favorite thing growing up?
Hmm?
What was your favorite thing growing up?
My favorite
thing.
Thing.
Favorite food, favorite place, favorite person?
I like music.
Who was your favorite artist?
Probably Ella Fitzgerald.
Who?
Ella Fitzgerald.
What did they do?
She was a singer in the 40s and 50s and 60s. She died, probably 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. She had a very sad childhood, but she sang like an angel, and I liked her. I also like Tony Bennett because he has perfect pitch. So there you go.
Oh.
I like big band stuff. I like big band music. I like that kind of stuff because I like to sing and dance. So there you go.
Do you have any stories that maybe your grandma or your mom have told you about ancestors or anything of that sort?
I have lots of stories. What do you want to know? My cousin Jodine, who's 97 years old, she's actually my mother's first cousin. She has tried to put together our family tree her entire life. She was a school teacher, and during the summers and on their breaks, she and her husband would go from town to town, and they would follow leads about our family. And it's easy for us because we just pull up the internet, but in those days, there was no internet. And so you would have to go to the little town, and let's say that we knew that John Smith lived in a plantation, you'd see where John Smith lived, and there was evidence that they were in that town, and then suddenly, they're gone. And there's nothing there because nobody had to file papers or do anything like that. So then the quest becomes figuring out what happened to them. Did they get sick and die? Did they just move to another township? You know, so then you have to go into the dusty basement of all of the town halls and whatnot and figure out who did what to whom. Sometimes it's even, you know, you have to interview the ancestors of the guy who kept who built the headstones, which is another story because one of our relatives, her name was on one side of the headstone and Mary Todd Lincoln's was on the other. Now the question is, were they buried head to head? No. They just run out of material, and so they covered one side, and over the years, whatever they used to cover it with had worn away.
Oh.
But we won't know that. I mean, you know, I mean, we knew that because Jodine managed to find the granddaughter of the guy who chiseled the headstones.
Oh. What other stories can you think of?
Well, when I went to my Aunt May's 90th birthday...
How long ago was this?
Oh, she's been gone quite some time now. Let's see, my mother's 93. Well, you can figure it out. She was 90 when she passed away. Jodine is her daughter, and Jodine is 97. Okay? So she's been gone some time. Billy was probably in high school, so we're talking 10, 15 years ago. Anyway, we went to her 90th birthday party in a place called Mangum, Oklahoma. And it's a very small town. I mean, it's not that small. It's got a few thousand people in it.
Yeah.
But when we went there, we went to the Blair Cemetery because the Blair Cemetery is where my great-grandma is buried. And my great-grandma raised my mother with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got there, Jodine gave me the clue that if I walked all the way to the end, that there were four headstones, and those headstones were all women in our family that, you know, that generations, right? We were all related to those four women.
Oh.
And it's chilling, and it's amazing because I know things about those women that now give me the ability to take care of myself. For instance, they came across in a covered wagon, and they didn't have sunglasses, and they didn't have air conditioning, and when they got to where they were going, they had what they called prairie blindness. Now, they only had peripheral vision. They couldn't see straight ahead.
Oh.
Now, I happen to know that those are macular holes because my mother had macular holes and her cousin had macular holes. And, you know, and that's you can't see straight ahead. You can only see peripherally. That's why I take very good care of my eyes. Okay.
Oh.
So, I mean, so I know that that's a hereditary thing, even though I've had a doctor say, well, we don't know whether or not it's hereditary. It's like, I'm here to tell you it is. Because we know these stories about these ladies. When they got to where they were going, like Texas, Oklahoma, they built their homes into the side of mountains. They were called dugouts. So think of the facade of a house in the front, but the interior of the home was built into the mountain.
Oh.
Because that kept away vermin,
mm-hmm.
people sneaking in your back door. Because then you only had one area that you had to protect. And that's how they lived. And, you know, and my grandma lived in the city. My mother was a city girl. And all of my mother's, my grandma's brothers, there were five of them, they all lived in the country and they owned farms. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Do you have any stories about those relatives that used to live in Minnesota and had the farm?
No, I don't know any. That's your mother's. Gotta talk to her.
Oh. What about, didn't we have a relative that had... Was it only one arm and she, like, drew with her mouth or something like that?
My grandma only had one arm.
Yeah.
My grandma was the most clever person on the face of the planet. The only thing she couldn't do was knit because she needed two hands. Other than that, she did everything else. She drove, she sewed, she raised babies, she cooked. She owned a restaurant when my mother was growing up. That's where my grandma stayed and took care of my mother.
Oh.
She was an excellent cook. And when I was a little girl, before Barbie, I had a Shirley Temple doll, and she made clothes for that Shirley Temple doll and made clothes that for me that looked just like that Shirley Temple doll.
Was she the one who made really good matzo ball soup?
No, that's Uncle Hui's mom. That's Nana. That's Nana. But there's a black cape hanging out in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Full length black cape.
Yeah.
My grandmother made that.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What about the story of, I don't remember what they were named. They came over from, during, what was it?
Mm.
World War II? Or something of that sort?
I'm talking about Nana and Poppy.
The one who started the ice cream shop?
You're talking about Nana and Poppy. Nana's name was Reba.
Mm-hmm.
And she was Grandpa Howard's mother.
Yeah.
She was born in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Her father owned a ice cream factory. But because they were Jews, they couldn't own property, so he owned it in his Gentile friend's name. Gentile meaning somebody who wasn't Jewish.
Yeah.
They owned the thing. When they realized what was happening with the Kaiser, I guess it wasn't the Kaiser. I don't really know what was going on, but Jews were like falling out of grace, let's put it that way. Zadie, which is Yiddish for grandpa, decided that he was going to leave Russia and he was going to take his family with him. The only thing is you couldn't get a visa to go out because he was a Jew. So he sold all of his property, converted everything into stones, into diamonds and precious stones, sewed them into the soles of his children's shoes and into the hems of their clothes, and they went out on the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad were people that smuggled them from farm to farm to get them out. They ultimately ended up here in the United States, and they opened up a bed and breakfast on the East Coast. But before that happened, one night they stayed in a farm, and the only thing the lady had to cook was pig that she had slaughtered. Well, pork is treif, and Jews do not eat pork. So they told her, and you know, because Zadie kept kosher, mind you, they told her that it was pink cheese. And that's how they got the kids to eat it. Nana loved pink cheese until the day she died. And so did Howard. So did Grandpa Howard. He loved it. Now, your mother and I wouldn't eat it, but he did. And my dad would make it for him at Easter.
Oh, yeah. So.
But that, you know. Now, a lot of her family didn't come out of Russia. With, you know, some of them were older and they stayed.
Yeah.
And when she would send things to them, they would redact, meaning they would cross out things in her letters, or they would take the stuff that she sent because they were, you know, they didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
Same way with my grandma Moore, who came over on the boat from Germany.
Oh, I didn't get this one.
She came over at the beginning of the 20th century with her parents, and not all of her siblings came. And so, you know, I was old enough to remember her sending stuff to them, and sometimes they got it and sometimes they didn't, or they'd redact stuff. And my grandmother was the least political person I knew. It wasn't like she was writing something that was ugly, but they just, you know, they lived in East Germany. So East Germany was
this when it was
when the wall was up. When the wall was up. So
did they live in the Russian sector?
They lived in the East Germany. They lived in the East Germany before the wall fell. Because you have to understand that those people did not have a chance to decide whether they wanted to live in the East or the West.
Yeah.
They just woke up one morning and the wall was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was, you know, so Grandma Moore, she spoke German. She, mm-hmm. you know, she and her mother never learned to speak English because they lived in a German town in Ohio.
Oh.
Okay. So, you know, now her dad did. Her dad learned to speak English because he had to work. Mm-hmm. But her name is Bertha. Bertha never learned to speak English.
Oh.
You know, she didn't have to. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Those tombstones that you mentioned, was one of those, didn't you have a story about the MacGuffins? Was one of those about, is that the MacGuffin family that was in the tombstones?
Yeah. It was one of the Sands that was in the so one of your great-great-grandma's relatives was on one side of that tombstone.
Oh.
But we, you know, Abraham Lincoln allegedly is our cousin.
Where'd you hear that from?
Well, my grandma was born in Kentucky. And they ascertained that by, you know, because I told you, you know, she went from town to town and looked through things, because there's all sorts of significant things about what she found.
What else did she find?
Well, we owned slaves.
Yeah, that's probably something that happened.
But as she followed the trail and found people with our name, she would call them and she would say, "Are you blood kin?" Because it wasn't unusual for that to happen. And generally speaking, they would say no. When they left, they took the name of the person that owned the farm, which was our ancestor.
Oh.
Because we did something apparently that was totally illegal and horrible. We taught them to read.
Oh.
Because we come from a long line of school teachers. And education is a gift. And, you know, I mean, not to keep them ignorant was just stupid. So, you know.
Well.
So anyway. That was that.
Yeah.
So, you should talk to Georgine about it. It's totally fascinating. Yeah. But she spent probably 30 years of her life every summer traveling and going through and going into dusty basements in city halls and going through old records and then finding people and calling them on the phone. And you have to realize she was doing this when I was a kid growing up before the internet. Now it would be a little bit easier. If I wanted to find you, I'd Google you. But she would literally drive and go and see if anybody knew anything.
Did she have any, like, bad cases of, like, people getting aggressive or anything?
No. People were always very, you know, it's different back in the South, honey. People are kind. People are kind. They are kind.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. They're kind, for the most part. Look, there's bad apples in every town.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're very, very kind people. Especially because she's kind. You know, Jodine is still, she's this kind, wonderful lady that I adore, you know. And, you know, and she's got a lot. She's spent her life putting together our family history. She put it together before Ancestry.com came into being, okay? And, you know, I told you, she can trace us back to, I think it's three brothers that came over on the boat. And, I mean, and literally we know who's doing what to whom and how they came across and how they lived and, you know, and...
Do you know that story?
Well, and you know part of it. I mean, I know after they got here, but it's like they left Europe and they came over here and they developed lives for themselves. You know, my great-grandma,
mm-hmm.
Emma,
yeah.
Was married to, God, what was his name? He's got a really weird name. Beryl, I think his name was. Okay. She met him in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and his wife had passed away. And his wife was her first cousin.
Oh.
Okay. So they got married, and she had, you know, she had five or six kids. I think there were four boys and my grandma and one other little girl that died. You know, she choked to death on a piece of bubble gum.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really horrible. So the thing about this guy that's so interesting is that he left a picture of his dead wife hanging in the bedroom. The entire time they were married. And when the kids were a little bit older, the house burned down.
Oh.
And the boys did not go back in and take that picture. They let it burn with the house.
I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah. Because that was their mama, you know, and he was disrespecting their mom. So, anyway, so there's that. And the only other thing I'll tell you about is the lost cemetery. There's a lost cemetery in Blair called Corinth. And there was a flood, and it exposed some of the lost graves. So they started looking, and this is where my grandma came in. When my grandma was a little girl, she had the ability, I guess because they had nothing, she had the ability to make something out of nothing. And she saved little Pepsi bottles, and when her dad passed, she surrounded his plot with those little Pepsi bottles and put crushed shells in them or on them or around them. that's what they found, and that's when they knew that they had found it. And from that point, that's where they figured out where everybody was buried, because they knew where he was buried, and they knew who was next to him, and so then that's how they ventured out.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we gave them money for a long time for them to, like, reclaim that area, but they did. That's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grandma.
Okay, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.